Mark Simone on the voice of New York, 710 WOR.
No, I'm not sick. I just like to do that to scare everybody all the time. Walk into... it's great. Walk into a crowded restaurant. Watch everybody run. If you just blow your nose once, if you have allergies or something, you blow your nose, everybody scatters. It's
That's a scary sound these days.
That's all. It's all you have to... Just try it. Subway a little crowded. Walk on the train and go... Everybody will make space for you. It's perfect. Listen, I was out last night. I'll admit the traffic is about half of what it normally is all over Manhattan. Do you notice a lot less traffic when you go home?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Restaurants are pretty busy in Midtown Manhattan. All the hot spots are busy, but maybe 25% empty. What a Subway. Subways look about half full. There are people out there. Stores are a little empty. So this overdone panic and everything is bad, but it's made Manhattan a much nicer place. It's easier. You get home faster?
I did, yes.
Yeah. So a lot of these companies are telling employees not to come to work. They're what do you call that? Telecommuting.
Right.
Many CEOs have ordered everybody, even it says Anthony Scaramucci is his hedge fund. Everybody has been ordered to work from home now. You know, one reason that these guys do that, these CEOs, is they don't like commuting either. They may have a fancy car and driver and all that, but they don't like sitting on the LIE for an hour. So it's easier to have everybody telecommute. How long will this go on?
I think for quite a while. Another couple of months, I would think.
Why would this go on for another couple of months?
Well, it's supposed to get worse before it gets better. It's not over yet. It hasn't been contained.
Well, you know, what is there to contain?
The number of cases continues to increase. When it stops going up, then that's
well. The problem is, if there were an explosion of cases, I could see a problem. But it's the slightest little trickle of cases. It's just a little trickle. It's 20. It's 30. It's 40. It's 50. It's 60.
I think the concern is that there are a lot of people out there with it that we don't know they have it yet, and they are infecting other people at the moment.
Well, we kind of know they have it because they have a temperature of 103 and be coughing like crazy.
But you could be infectious before you exhibit symptoms.
Well, that's possible, but the numbers are extremely low. You talk. Hey, by the way, if you want the best coronavirus numbers, there's a site this kid came up with. Counts every coronavirus case and status, right down to the exact number every second. Just go to my Twitter, Mark Simone NY Twitter. There's a link to it because it's some weird name to this website. But you can track every case in the world. Right now, worldwide, the whole world, 121,000 cases. Now, that's not a lot. You know, you compare that to the flu where there's 10 million cases in the world. The other thing I'm going to point out, 66,000 people with coronavirus have already easily recovered and gotten better. It is just like the flu in that you could have it for 10 days. If you're a healthy person, you'll have it for a week or 10 days, and then you're better.
I agree with you. We are panicking over just a couple of people with the flu.
Yeah, now, here's something to remember. You have seen people die from coronavirus, 31 people. Well, in this country, 1,000 people have it, 31 have died. But in almost every case, anybody that died was already medically compromised. Right. They already had some lung disease, they had some lung problems, they were very old, or they were already suffering from other stuff. So if you go to the flu, in this flu season, we'll have about 25,000-30,000 dead in America in this flu season.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Just this year, in the time that we've had the coronavirus here, in the last 2 months or so, we've had 8,000 people die from the flu, as opposed to 31 dying from coronavirus. So,
I know it doesn't make sense.
Now, here's what's going on. Why this panic? Well, you got the news media, who's got a double agenda going here. They do this all the time. They do this with Ebola, with SARS. It gets ratings. It gets big ratings. So that's one reason to panic you about coronavirus. The other thing is they want to hurt Donald Trump. They want to tank the stock market. It's not that they like to hurt the economy, but if it's going to affect the election, they will tank the stock market until November. They did this. They've done this before. They did this with George H.W. Bush when it looked like a close race with Clinton. Dan Rather every night had a big opening feature. Economy in crisis. Economy in crisis. They'd be promoting that. And a lot of networks played that up, trying to get Bush out of office. So you'll see a lot of that. The other factor is you've got government officials like Governor Cuomo, Mayor de Blasio. It's like a contest. Who can get more attention? Who can do more? I'll cancel the half marathon. Oh, yeah? I'll cancel St. Patrick's Day. Oh, yeah? I'm gonna contain half of New Rochelle. Now, by the way, nothing is going on in New Rochelle. Nothing.
No. There are a lot of cases clustered around that area.
I think
108 cases of the 173 in New York are in Westchester County.
Well, in New Rochelle, which is a big town for a suburban town. It's a very big, sprawled out town. There's a section called the North End, and there's a 1 mile radius that's a containment zone now. Now, what does that mean? Nothing. Everybody's free to come and go and leave.
Exactly.
It's just a label to get attention, and God bless him. If you're watching the NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt, they opened with footage of Governor Andrew Cuomo for about 30 seconds. So in the Cuomo office, they're all watching this going, national news. We got on the network news. So this is why you do this. In this containment zone, the National Guard was sent into the containment zone. Not to do anything. There's no checkpoints. They're not policing anything. They were helping with food delivery, and they were helping with cleaning. So, for instance, CBS News, Tony Aiello, the reporter, happens to live in the containment zone in New Rochelle. He reports that he went out and everything was fine. In fact, he went to dinner at the North End Tavern, which is the popular neighborhood restaurant there, and people were eating dinner. So everything is fine in the containment zone. There are some people that are sick there, but they're staying at home.
I don't get this National Guard thing either. And if it's not a containment zone because it's not containing anything.
Yes, but how is he supposed to get on the NBC Nightly News lead story with Lester Holt if he doesn't have a containment zone and the National Guard is
It sounded
sent in.
Dramatic.
It sounded incredibly dramatic.
and you hear what they're doing. It's nothing.
It's nothing. You can, and you're free to drive into the containment zone or drive out. You could go to the North End Tavern. You'll have to wait because there's a crowd there. So everything is fine. But they're talking about maybe canceling St. Patrick's Day. The mayor's back to that. Why? Because that'll get him on the news.
Well, you know, the other thing, too, we have the Big East tournament starting at the Garden today.
What is that?
Basketball. College basketball. It's
huge. I don't know anything about basketball.
It's huge.
Is that this March Madness stuff?
Yeah, well, it's the beginning of March Madness, yes.
God, I hate that stuff. They come around every office with this thing with brackets. I don't know what the hell a bracket is. I don't know how many. So what does that mean? They're going to postpone?
Well, no. At the moment, no, it's going to be held. But if you can't have a marathon, why would you have the basketball games at the Garden?
Because you can have a marathon. It's outside. It's fine. But how are you supposed to get on the NBC Nightly News if you're a local official unless you cancel a marathon? So and I've talked to public officials who told me that's going on. They're calculating, if I do this, will I get all over the news? Will I get national coverage? Yeah. So the president is considering a few things. Where's the stock market? It's down 767 points.
Yeah, right.
So you're going to see this for the coming days. Up, down, up, down, up, down. Choppiness. It's not because people are getting sick and dying. It's two reasons. Well, it's one reason, really. Wall Street goes crazy when there's uncertainty. They cannot handle uncertainty. And there has been, as a result of a little coronavirus and a lot of media panic, there has been tremendous economic damage done. Two reasons. One, the supply chain has been halted in China, which is most industries. And number two, there will be shortages, which will cause a lot of bad quarters at companies coming up. So uncertainty means Wall Street cannot come even close to calculating what that number is going to be, the damage. Once they know the number, doesn't matter how bad it is, but once they know the number, everything will straighten out. Once they have certainty, stocks level off.
Yeah, but I mean, look at even bond prices are down to record lows. There's no place to have money these days.
Yeah. So now here's the bad news for Democrats. You've tanked the economy with the panic, with the media and everything. But that certainty will come in a few weeks because China's the coronavirus is pretty much over in China. It's back to normal there pretty much. So we'll figure out this number. and the recovery will begin. But the bad news is you've timed this out, so the recovery will start in May and go through the summer. And as Joe Biden is about to be wheeled up for that convention speech, the recovery will be in full swing, and what's he going to say? Hey, speaking of which, you saw the video of Biden fighting with the factory worker?
Yeah.
Now, this is classic Joe Biden. He spends his whole life convincing you he's this fake everyman. He's blue-collar Joe. He's a worker himself. Remember the debate with Sarah Palin? We got caught lying. Biden's always caught lying his whole life. He told a story in that debate about when he goes to the diner every morning with the blue-collar guys, with the worker, the diner in his neighborhood. He told this whole story about what they're telling him. It was so touching. Reporters looked into it and found there's no such diner. Joe Biden has never been to a diner.
Sounded good, though.
And then he told the story about when he goes to get some lumber at the Home Depot. He goes to the Home Depot in his neighborhood. Well, again, they checked. There's no Home Depot in his neighborhood. He's never been to a Home Depot. So here he was in Michigan. If you missed it, we have it on the webpage. Here, for the first time ever, he's actually speaking to factory workers, blue-collar workers. And they ask him a question, and he's yelling at the guy, telling him he's full of blank.
You are actively trying to diminish our Second Amendment right and take away our guns.
You're full of
You're full of blank.
Jeez.
This guy's, he's only, well, in his defense, he's only been in politics 50 years. You know, it takes a while to learn how to handle these situations. You're full of blank. And he has a woman who's like his chief of staff. When she sees the fight break out, she tries to intervene, and you saw what he said to her. Yeah. He goes, shush! Shush! Who says shush?
Old people.
That's like a yeah. Ebenezer Scrooge kind of word. Shush! And is that how you treat women? Women trying to say something? Shush! Now, if you look at the long shot of the video, he's got a TV crew that he's brought with him to film Joe talking to the factory workers. They thought this would be good television, especially for Michigan. They're auto workers. Here's video. They got the camera is literally right behind him. It's a foot away from his head. Did he forget? He forgot there's a TV camera there? And the guy says, you know, you're trying to take away our guns. Now, any politician would say, well, let me explain what my position is. I'm not trying to take, here's what I want to do. As soon as the guy said it,
I know it.
He just blew up.
And then he even wanted to fight the guy. He said, you want to go outside?
Yeah, I'm not saying the guy's got Alzheimer's or that he's completely insane, but this is a big, burly factory worker.
Yeah.
And here's a frail old man who says, you want to go outside? What are they going to do outside?
Well, he knows he's got the Secret Service next to him. Nothing's going to happen to him.
Not yet. He's got his own security. And they're not very good. You saw those two protesters charge the stage? They got within about 2 inches of him.
Right, yeah.
So it's very bad. It didn't affect Michigan. He still won. Most people had voted by then. But it looked bad. And it's a further sign that he is suffering from something. It's not just simple senility. He's got some kind of Alzheimer's or dementia, because that's a part of that. You see people with Alzheimer's, they can get very angry. They can go into a rage very fast.
It's happened a lot, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's happening a lot. So, what is this, March? April, May, June, July. You got like 4 months to the convention. If you think he'll get better in 4 months, it goes the other way. You've seen people in that condition.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it happens quickly, too.
It happens quickly.
Yeah, he's exhibiting signs.
4 months from now, how's he going to do this? The biggest moment of your campaign is the convention speech. That's when the whole nation turns in to hear what you have to say. And he's going to get up there, and it's a big, you're like in a stadium kind of setting. He's going to look out and say, that's what he's going to say. He's just going to freeze
you
up.
You know the thing.
What are you thinking? You got a guy who's obviously in the early stages of dementia. 4 months from now, what's October? That's like 6 months, 8 months. He's going to be much worse by then. Hey, we're keeping an eye on the Harvey Weinstein situation. He is on his way. Is he there or is he on his way to court?
It should be underway.
Yeah. He's going to get sentenced to prison, and we're going to see what happens. The last time he got convicted, and they put him in the ambulance to take him to Rikers, his blood pressure spiked through the roof, and he started having heart palpitations. So when the judge gives a sentence here, he may be leaving on a stretcher. I don't know. But I assume he's prepared. In fact, I guess he is prepared, because normally, you go to the judge, you have everybody you know write letters, you get all the most prominent people, you get the cardinal, the district attorney, the mayor, whoever you can get to write letters. In this case, I don't think that's going to work. He's very close with the Clintons. But I looked at this judge was appointed by Rudy Giuliani. I don't think he cares about any Clinton letters. And normally what you ask for is house arrest. He's been a good person otherwise. He has been a great charitable figure. You Google all this stuff and you get house arrest. They're not even trying that. They're not even asking for that. So the Harvey's attorneys are asking for 5 years. So that means that's their admission that there's no way he avoids jail time. He could get 29 years. They'll probably split the difference, give him 10 or 12 years. So they're asking for five. Harvey is calculating somehow that that's 3 years good behavior. If he was capable of good behavior, he wouldn't be in this predicament. But good behavior, 3 years. And I guess he's figuring he can get through that somehow.
If he can get five, but he's going to get more than five.
Yeah, I'd bet on 10 to 12. So we'll see. But that's going to happen at any moment during the program. We'll bring that to you. Check out the webpage. If you didn't see it, watch this. Here's a fake everyman, Joe Biden, screaming at blue-collar workers. Because he really doesn't like them. Also, here's it's coming back, a Two and a Half Men, this time starring Bernie and Joe Biden in a new series. Watch this sitcom called Two and a Half Old Men. And this is great. Now, this is George Carlin. This is obviously from years ago. He's no longer with us. But here's George Carlin on coronavirus, on viruses, and don't panic. This will put it all in perspective. This will make it real clear to you. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark.
Put a little more Mark Simone in your day. Get his podcast on demand at 710WOR.com/Mark. Mark Simone.
On the voice of New York.
710WOR.
Hey, we'll take some calls. 800-321-0710 is the number. 800-321-0710. A couple of restaurants have actually closed down. Now, you remember the head of the Port Authority, whose name I'm blanking out on, head of the Port Authority, suddenly had coronavirus. Well, it turned out he ate at a restaurant. You know, in the Museum of Modern Art, there's this great restaurant, very popular. A long wait to get in, called The Modern. Turns out he ate there over the weekend, so they've closed the restaurant down for a few days to do a deep cleaning. You bring in one of these outside specialist decontamination cleaning companies, and they'll clean the whole restaurant. So a couple of restaurants have had to do that if they've had anybody there with coronavirus. Now, Joe Biden, next step is the debate. Now, Sleepy Joe having problems. Obviously, he's not right in the head. Look at that fight with the factory worker yesterday. So what does he do Sunday night? They have a big debate. It's him and Bernie Sanders. It's 2 hours. How's he going to stand up and talk for 2 hours? And it's just him and Bernie Sanders. That means a full hour of it'll be just Joe Biden talking. No way he can handle that. So the DNC working very, very, very hard to protect him. They've played around with everything. First of all, you know, they changed the rules to eliminate Tulsi Gabbard. She's still in the race, but they're trying to hide her. So now they've changed the rules so that it'll be a sit-down debate, no standing, because they think Bernie was fighting to keep it standing because they knew that would wear out old, tired old Joe. So they'll make it a sit-down thing with a moderator. They'll all sit at a table, and they've decided now to make it a town hall. Why a town hall? Well, that way, people in the audience get up and ask questions. And you know, in the town hall, it's not a quick question. It's not, what are you going to do about gun control? It's always, the town hall question is always a speech. The person in the audience will talk for 2 minutes. So if you add that up, half the debate will be people in the audience talking, and they're trying to get Joe Biden in a situation where he doesn't have to say much of anything. So going to great lengths to protect him. That'll be Sunday night. Then there's some more primaries. Biden has a pretty good lead right now. Biden's got 846 delegates, Sanders 684. So it's too close to just tell Sanders that you got to go, you got to step out of this. Sanders could still win some delegates. But I think what they're really hoping for at the DNC, the real master plan, is to have him go into the convention pretty much deadlocked. And that way, nobody wins on a first ballot. And under these stupid, sleazy DNC rules, if it gets to a second ballot, they can throw everything out, throw all the votes out, and just pick whoever the hell they want. Now, I don't know who that is, if that's Hillary or whoever. I'm hearing that Mike Bloomberg has decided he must restore his reputation. He is a laughingstock. He made a total fool out of himself all over America. He's got to do something. I don't know what that would be, a convention speech or maybe another $500 million worth of commercials about how great he is. I don't know what it is, but he's thinking this over.
He's going to be devastated.
Yeah, he is devastated. Anyway, let's take a call or two. Let's go to line one. How are you?
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
It's Ian from Oceanside, Long Island.
You what?
It's Ian from Oceanside, Long Island.
Ian in Oceanside, Long Island. And what's going on in Oceanside? Are people afraid to go anywhere?
Yeah, not me. But I was just calling up about Biden and Bernie and just wanted to get on the air with that.
That's good. I like an honest guy. I got nothing to say. I just want to get on the air. I can't think of anything, but I want everybody to hear me. Huh?
There was no screen caller today. I just it's right through to the show. All I wanted to say that.
Well, we knew it was you. We rushed you right through.
Oh, I was thinking, why don't they just do it in the wheelchairs? I thought Biden's the one that wants to go out back and challenge everybody to fights and push-ups. Now he can't stand up for an hour? I mean, so, you know, come on.
Excellent point. Excellent point. That's Biden who threatens the factory worker. Let's step outside. First of all, if you did that, you get out there, Biden would go, where are we? He can't stand up for the hour, but he's threatening people. Let's go to Levant in New Jersey. Levant, how you doing?
Good morning, Mark.
Yes.
Great. Good morning. Thanks for taking a call. Hey, everybody's talking about Biden's state of health and everything, and you alluded to this yesterday as well. But one thing that's missing is this guy is nothing but a ventriloquist puppet with the DNC hand up his back.
Yeah.
He may make it to the convention. He may make it to the election. And God forbid if he wins, it's the running mate that scares me.
Well,
really,
that's a good point. First of all, you might say, why would they want a guy with dementia who doesn't know where he is? Are you kidding? Perfect.
Yeah, right.
These big donors, these behind-the-scenes puppet masters that run these things, the swamp, they love a guy who's totally out of it. They'll run the country. Let him just sit there in the wheelchair. And then the other question is the running mate. Normally, you pick somebody to balance the ticket. You're white, you pick somebody black. You're male, you pick somebody female. You're from the East Coast, pick somebody from the West Coast. You do that balance. It's a little different here because everybody looks at Joe Biden and knows this guy could literally drop dead at any second. In fact, be honest, if you were a life insurance company and you say, I like life insurance for my first four-year term, would you give it to him for the whole 4 years?
At a very high price.
You might say, you know what, let's do a year at a time. So he'd have to pick a vice president that is very presidential, who somebody feels has enough gravitas that could immediately be president. That's not Kamala Harris. That's not Pete Buttigieg.
Just pick a Democrat then. Is there one?
Well, George W. Bush had a similar problem. They thought he was too young, a little too goofy, so he had to have a really good old Washington hand. That's how it came to be Dick Cheney. Former Secretary of Defense, former Secretary of State, former White House Chief of Staff. That's why they went with Cheney. So it's going to have to be somebody.
You know, there's a lot of talk about Sherrod Brown, a guy from Ohio.
Yeah.
But he's a pretty classy guy.
Well, he's okay. He's a governor. He was the governor of Ohio. They always talked about him as the presidential candidate.
Yeah, right.
Because they'd always say, he knows how to talk to the average American. He knows how to talk to the factory workers. Big Democrats used to tell me that. He knows how to talk to the working man. That's a special skill in your party. Everybody you have is supposed to be able to. That's such a unique skill. You'll bring him in. So, yeah, keep an eye on Sherrod Brown. Joe Concha will be with us next on 710 WOR.
Mr. New York.
Mark Simone.
710 WOR.
Well, Joe Concha, of course, a great columnist for The Hill, and make sure you follow Joe Concha on Twitter, and of course, you see him all over the Fox News channel, and always great to have him here. Joe Concha, how you doing?
Marky Mark, how you been, man?
Very good. Where are you, in New Jersey right now?
No, I'm actually at Fox News.
Oh, okay. What are you
trying to find a place to talk where we could have some privacy.
All right, but in that building, are people corona panicking?
You know, I was just in a green room and they came through and they scrubbed down the whole thing. They have signs up in the bathroom says this was cleaned at this hour, you know, so it's kind of reassure people. And there's a big scaffolding outside of, I guess they're cleaning down the room. But, you know, places like the New York Times, they're sending employees home for 2 weeks that attended a conference where there's a coronavirus person that tested positive. Washington Post urging their employees to work from home. So, yeah, this is going to be a thing now where a lot of people, except for Mark Simone, will work from home just out of precautions because you don't want to be in closed places. We're even seeing what Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden didn't hold rallies last night. So, yeah, this is a huge thing, and it's probably going to be the biggest issue of the 2020 election, quite frankly, Mark.
Am I missing something in the U.S.? 1,000 people have coronavirus, and 9 million right. have the flu right now. So what am I missing here?
Yeah, I hear you, man. So there's only been 30 deaths so far, right? In the winter of 2018, there were 80,000 deaths just in the winter of 2018 in the U.S. alone. So you say, well, wait, there's only been 30 deaths here. It's only 1,000 cases. Look, a lot of people still need to be tested. But I'm talking more, Mark, in terms of the impact on the election politically from an economic perspective because of all the fear, right? And if we end up going into a recession because so many businesses are being impacted by this, then you're dealing with a re-election here with a president that's dealing with a recession. The last time we saw that was George H.W. Bush and Jimmy Carter, and they both didn't win. So I'm just saying, while coronavirus certainly isn't the president's fault, this came from China. I think he's handled it exceptionally well, with the exception of the test kits not getting out as quickly as they should. But, you know, again, this is unprecedented. But still, I mean, he's going to have to deal, instead of his best hand, which was, I have a strong economy, vote for me again. I don't have such a great economy. Vote for me again, and that could be a problem.
Yeah, well, that's what this is all about. But if the coronavirus goes away in the next few weeks, and you're the media mm-hmm. expert, what happens? They conned us with Russia. They conned us with a fake impeachment. Is this the final blow for the media?
Oh, now you've hit my sweet spot.
Yes.
I just played baseball, and this is the barrel of the bat right here. The hysteria around this has been so reckless. It used to be kind of funny on some level because it was just, you know, political nonsense. Now this is serious stuff. People need to be educated. But instead, we're seeing, for instance, Bret Stephens, New York Times, calls it Trump's Chernobyl. You see people on MSNBC saying it's Trump's Katrina. You see CNN declaring it a pandemic before the World Health Organization, before the CDC says it. But they're a news organization, so they know better, right? And it's strictly panic for profit, Mark. That's all it is.
It gins up
ratings because fear is a motivator. Thank you. It's Alliteration Wednesday, apparently. Yeah, perpetual for profit. How's that? So, yeah, that's what we're seeing. This is all to play to people's fears, and it doesn't help the situation one bit. I think if the media handled this the way, like, say, Dr. Fauci does, when he tells you, okay, this is what's bad, this is what's good, this is what you should do, then I don't think we'd be in the place we are right now, particularly with the way the markets are reacting.
You know, also, Joe Concha, I don't think most people know what pandemic actually means. When you hear it's a pandemic, you go, oh, my God. Pandemic just means it's over a wide geographical area. That's all that means.
That's exactly right. It means it has to be widespread across two continents.
That's all it
now,
means.
Now, that's the thing, though. Right, right. So the World Health Organization, which has been kind of liberal to this point in terms of mortality rates and everything else, even they're saying it's not a pandemic. So who the hell is CNN to tell us that they think it's a pandemic, though, because Dr. Sanjay Gupta said it was, who's a neurosurgeon, by the way, doesn't deal with things like pandemics and things like viruses. So who the hell is he to be telling us that? So, yeah, that's where it's just become so reckless. And of course, the end game is that, look, if this were a President Obama, then we'd all be rallying behind the president, right? The media would be. And in this case, they see this as an opportunity, a real one, and it is real, to take out this president, because we'll say that this is his Chernobyl, this is his Katrina, and he's not the guy that can handle this. Instead, it should be Joe Biden, the guy who said he was going to take my AR-14, which, as an AR-13 owner, I'm very, you know, very relieved about. The guy who gets up in the face of a construction worker who simply asked him a question in a polite way, and he loses it. And he does this a lot.
So that's how you're going to win over voters in the upper Midwest, by challenging. He said, literally, let's go outside. What are you going to do exactly, Joe? I mean, it's just, I don't know, man. I mean, that's the guy the Democrats came up with after 30 candidates. It doesn't exactly exude confidence. Let's put it that way.
Hey, you wrote a column, Joe Concha, about Hillary Clinton. Philip Raines, her guy, said, if this documentary had come out in 2016, she would have won. Who the hell would sit through this 8-hour documentary? And what makes him think she still wouldn't look like a dishonest swamp politician?
Yeah, that's the thing, right? Oh, a documentary. That would have changed everybody's mind. That would have suddenly turned her into a real person. Hey, maybe that would have compelled her to actually campaign in Wisconsin, which she didn't step foot in and then lost the state. That was one of three states that turned the election to Donald Trump. So, yeah, I mean, this documentary that's done, you know, it makes her look real good. Anybody who didn't vote for her isn't going to watch that and say, no, maybe I made a mistake. Maybe Trump wasn't the guy. I like Hillary because a documentary told me to think that way. It's just stupid things, man.
Yeah, now from what I'm hearing, because you got to think to yourself, what the hell would Hulu want an 8-hour documentary on Hillary for? From what I'm hearing, Hulu did not want an 8-hour documentary on Hillary. They were kind of pushed into this as a favor to her.
It should be like a Joe Biden stump speech, 7 minutes, you know, or when I was single, you know, I think you still do this, the 8-minute dating. It should have been the 8-minute documentary, just something you kind of watch on your phone while you're waiting for the subway.
What the hell is 8-minute dating?
You're done with it.
8-minute dating? What is that?
You know, you never did that? Oh, what is that? Back in the 90s, when I was a very young man, you'd go to a bar and there'd be a whole, like a long, like rectangular table, and you'd sit down and you'd talk to somebody for 8 minutes.
Speed dating.
Yeah, the speed dating, and then you got up and you talked to somebody else for 8 minutes. So, you know, it wasn't quite, you know, Tinder, but that's what you did sometimes to meet somebody. It didn't work out very well for me, though.
Well, we have that now. Sometimes you see a beautiful woman, you walk over and you say hello, and she looks at you and she says, how are you? And you go, oh, I'm sorry, I thought you were somebody else. And you walk away.
Or you swipe left, right? I mean, that's what everybody does. It's not Mark Simone, though. You're old school. Where are you headed tonight, by the way? Who are you taking?
I don't know now. How would I know now?
Oh, this is kind of a 5 o'clock kind of decision for you?
Yeah, it just happens. So, Well, you're at Fox. You going to be on today?
I was on Fox and Friends earlier. I do a show called Quiz Show, and then I'll probably be on Hannity tonight. So we got a lot of TV to do because it's just so crazy. I mean, the news cycle, it always was crazy, but even more so now. So apparently I'm in demand, Mark. Go figure. But, yeah, you doing Dobbs or anything?
Yeah, probably this week. But you're always in demand. Always great stuff. Hey, and by the way, read Joe Concha in The Hill. A lot of great columns up there. Follow Joe Concha on Twitter. And thanks for being with us.
Mark, the pleasure is always on this side of the phone. I just want all your listeners to know that.
All right.
So thank you.
Talk to you again soon. Take care. And everybody check out the webpage. There's some great stuff up there. This is brilliant. There's nobody smarter, funnier than George Carlin. He is no longer with us. And this is from years ago. This is George Carlin on coronavirus. And nobody makes more sense. Every network should be forced to run this clip of George Carlin on Get Over Your Fear of Corona. Take a look at that. Also, they're bringing back Two and a Half Men. This time it's going to be called Two and a Half Old Men. And here it is. Here's the preview starring Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden. And also, if you missed it, watch This is Joe Biden. This is what everybody's talking about. This fake everyman, Joe Biden, actually meets an actual worker. Watch him just start telling the guy off and screaming at him. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark.